Hello, ECAN Nation. Welcome to the ECAN Radio Network and another episode of This Week in Karting. It is March 20th, 2024. I'm David Cole, joined by Nate Dean, as we are bringing you episode 76 of our news podcast. Again, bringing you all the major news that has hit the ECAN homepage over the past weeks. Perfect for listening on the way to work or coming home or in the shop or even heading to the racetrack. This episode of This Week in Karting is presented by Margay Racing. Check out Margay Racing's Spec Ignite class and their Arrive and Drive packages. Nothing matches the affordability and competitive level of the Ignite program. It's where the best driver wins over the best equipment. Bring your safety gear and Margay will take care of the rest. This year's Ignite majors include the Quincy Grand Prix, USAC Karting Elkhart Riverwalk Grand Prix, and the Rock Island Grand Prix on Labor Day weekend. The Midwest-based Ignite Challenge Series will hit six different tracks in 2024, and be sure to find a club running an Ignite class in your part of the country this season. For more information, please visit ignitekarting.com today. Get off the couch and into a race seat. So our last episode was February 20th, 2024, so essentially a month ago that we did episode 75, Nate. It's been kind of a busy run with a couple at track events for us with Challenge in America, Supercarts USA, Pro Tour Winter Nationals. And then you just got back from going to Sebring 12 hours. How was that?
Hot, dusty, definitely an experience compared to, like Daytona and Road America. The events I've done there, Sebring, as everyone said, and the couple of friends we have in the karting paddock that went will attest that it's a bit of a different animal. So kind of happy to be back in Minnesota after that, but sure was and fun to get away from karting paddock for a little bit and into sports cars.
You know, I was thinking about it. I think so. My one and only time I want to say was 2003. So to tell you how long ago that was, I think Michael McDowell was running Pro Mazda at the time, if I remember correctly. So because we were there with Formula Car Magazine, we were covering the all the Formula Car stuff that is now the USF Pro Championship stuff with what is Pro 2000 was Pro Mazda at the time. I think it had Ron White in there, Jason Bowles, and I believe Michael McDowell was part of it too, but yeah, that tells you how long it's been since I've been there. But I do, it's ironic you say the dust, because I do remember it being dusty, because again, a lot of the roads leading to the camping areas that surround the facility are just dirt, right? There's not a lot of paved roadways, so you get a lot of people driving golf carts all over that place, and I'm sure there's other vehicles that people are driving as well too, right?
Yeah, there's a whole selection of some interesting vehicles they got going, and then people towing their couches behind their golf carts, which I'm not sure how Sebring feels about that, but it would, like I said before, definitely was an experience compared to anything I've done before.
Yeah, and I saw Kyle from Kart Chaser post a photo of someone with a fish aquarium in their setup. Yep. So that just tells you right there, that's completely different from Daytona. It's probably because it's more of a 12 hour. So you don't have to go twice around the clock. It's just one time, get it done with and party till Sunday morning and go home, where the 24 hour, that's a grind like that. Like even as a spectator, like you just kind of have to just sleep during the night stuff, right?
Yeah. The chicken that you mentioned that Kyle posted, but the fish tank, what he didn't show was the chicken that was a few feet away in a cage, and the saloon that they built in a few days that they eventually tore down, which I don't know how OSHA feels about that one, but the less said about that, the better. But that was one of many impressive setups.
It's crazy to see that. I recommend it because obviously it hasn't changed in over 20 years. It's still the same fun and creativity and the costumes. It's almost like Mardi Gras, but at a racetrack in a way. Yeah. I would kind of compare that to, because of just the way people, the antics that people have there, it's just amazing. And they all love motorsports. So that's the one thing that they all have, everybody there that has in common. So I love it. I hope to go back again one time in the near future and try to get to the 24 as well too myself. So enough about car racing. Let's get into some of the news hitting the karting scene. Rock Island Grand Prix making up some news over the last few days. A couple of news items. First off, let's get into the confirmed class structure for the 2024 event that'll run August 31st through September 1st. Nate, the classes are very similar. New right now, let's talk about that. Briggs Light and Briggs Jr. coming into the mix at Rock Island Grand Prix.
Yeah, so a junior class being added to the RIGP weekend, and what I cannot think the last time that would have happened. You probably have a better read than I do for the last time we had a junior competition here. Mm. Or if this is the first time.
Yeah, I'm looking up the exact time, but we had Margay Ignite Jr. for a while there. That was a great way to kind of get some kids involved with the program. They've obviously had other junior categories. They used to have Tag Junior. They used to have Four Cycle Junior, Yamaha Junior, all different types of categories. I'm looking to see when the last time we had Ignite Junior. So that was back in 2018 that we had Ignite Junior. I don't think we've had any other junior categories since then. So it's been a while. But, you know, I guess the only way to get more people involved is to get people at the young age, because a lot of the drivers we see there now have been racing since they were juniors back in the early 2000s.
Yeah, and opening it up to juniors, just letting more people experience the event, like you said, and be able to give it a go at a bit of a earlier age. So they'll be interesting to see what kind of turnout they have for them. Of course, with those two new classes being added, gone for this year, though, are the Briggs Novice class and the Tag class. So two added and two gone for this season.
Yeah, the rest of the lineup looks very similar to last year with the Briggs Medium, Briggs Heavy, Masters, and of course, King of the Rock, Briggs 206. Ignite Senior 1 and 2 are back along with Masters, and then we'll do Open Shifter, Shifter Masters, along with King of the Streets, the headline division at the Rock Island Grand Prix for over 20 years. The 100cc Senior and 100cc King of the Rock categories return along with Yamaha Can Heavy. And of course, the vintage divisions are back as well, because that's always good for at least about 20 to 30 drivers or entries for those categories. But Nate, as a slender driver that you are, and what we're seeing in the Briggs landscape is the light category is becoming more rampant. And I think that's where we're seeing a lot of the racers are at the lighter weights, not the heavier weights that, again, we've been talking about. I think the Briggs weights are already too high as it is. And I think the racers are welcoming the lighter minimum weights for the category. So this new Briggs Light category might entice some new people into the event.
Yeah. And I mean, looking at really the gold standard of Briggs racing in North America right now, Cup Karts, their light division usually has a pretty good turnout, sometimes getting more than the medium that has been really widely used by racers and has been really one of their headline classes, along with the big names that make the move down to light or do double duty with medium and light. So I, like you said, the light division is gaining a lot of momentum in the past few years. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that class do pretty well as well, along with just how the growth of Briggs in the past couple of years. And obviously, like we said, Cup Karts doing a great job with their program. Other regional series and club series in the area have seen a lot of growth with the Briggs platform in the past few years. So that should help out with this new Briggs Light class. I'm looking forward to see what kind of entries they get for it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the growth from this new category. And again, most people will run the Briggs Light and Briggs Medium there. And then you'll have drivers run the Medium and Heavy, and sometimes Heavy and Masters. So you get multiple categories of running. And of course, King of the Rock. And they've lowered that weight down from the heavyweight down to the medium weight. So maybe we'll have another weight discussion later on in the year with Greg Jasperson when we look at the overall things of four cycle weights. So But keeping with Rock Island Grand Prix, they just announced a tire rule change for the 2024 event. They're going to continue remaining with the Hoosier R60B tire that they've run there with the Briggs 206 category. So all those categories will remain there. The Hoosier R80 for the Ignite divisions. But right now they're going to open it up to tire selection for 100cc categories and the shifters, welcoming MG back into the event.
Yeah, but two compounds you can choose from. So a bit of a tire war there. In the 100ccs, it's both, well, for 100cc and shifter, it's both the Hoosier R60B for those. And then for the MG options in 100cc, you have the MG SH2, that's the red compound. And then shifters will be running on the SM2, that's the yellow. So kind of keeping with what you see at the likes of USPKS, it's the tires they'll run for those respective categories. So should be interesting to see what comes out of that, both very, very strong and light compounds by the karting world, especially the SH2 for the 100cc drivers. A lot of praise for that compound in the past couple of months as that's made its American debut over in the winter series and other tracks that have used it since then. So just will be interesting really to see the advantages, disadvantages, and tire wear, all those different factors that we love talking about in Formula One on a week-to-week basis. But
yeah,
I'm looking forward to that strategy.
Yeah, and you know, in the past, Rock Island used to be open tire. I think what they're trying to do is get away from the tire prep situation, because the race tires you do race on, they have to be purchased from Rock Island Grand Prix. So for the, aside from Ignite and the Vintage, which is open tire still, so all the Briggs categories, 100cc stuff, and shifters, they all have to purchase their tires through Rock Island Grand Prix, because again, they're trying to alleviate the opportunity for people to do tire prep. That's certainly been a situation in years past and continues to be a threat. You know, not saying there's a lot of people out there doing it, but just to limit the opportunity for that to happen. And so, but back in the day, it used to be open tire for all the different categories, so you did have that type tire war stuff that you're talking about with Formula One. And it was pretty kind of interesting to see what people would run, and a lot of times some of the shifter guys would go on the softest tire out there on the market for a number of years. It used to be the Vega tire, and they would just eat up the tires. So depending on the weather, if it got super hot, it would just eat it up really bad. Because again, a street course, not a lot of rubber getting laid down, plus an abrasive surface, and it just a lot of different combinations there. So it was interesting. You know, obviously you're F1 gearhead, so you love that type of things with that, what we used to see with Formula One. But we'll see. And then one thing MG Tires did add on is they're going to do an incentive for any driver winning with MG tires will receive one free set of tires. So a little bit of added bonus to winning at the Rock Island Grand Prix and getting one of those prestigious rock trophies. So with that, we'll head into our first commercial break. And when we get back, we'll talk about Cup Karts North America, as they had some breaking news today, and the Quincy Grand Prix returning.
Ready to step up your game? Joining the Rawlison Performance Group is the obvious choice to take your racing to the next level. Industry-leading driver development is provided by our staff of multi-time national champions, Super Nationals winners, and Team USA members. And at the same time, RPG continues to be a national-level powerhouse race team. Our goal is to help you raise your game and win races. We work with all age groups and are focused on developing those cadet and junior drivers who are ready to take the next step in their racing program. Rawlison Performance Group has set a new standard with our in-house engine program, AVP Engines, headed by Alex Vincent. AVP has become the benchmark in IAMI competition. We have the largest OTK inventory that follows our race team, providing trackside parts at all the major events in North America. RPG also offers multilingual support with French, Spanish, and Portuguese-speaking staff. If you want to fight for championships or want to improve your skills and your chances to win, the answer is to call RPG at 503-260-4514. The Rawlison Performance Group. We race to win. It all started in 1994, when former successful kart driver Albino Perlin decided to move his passion for karting from the track to his small workshop. That's when Perlin was born. Fast forward 20 years, and Perlin's passion for the sport led to the company rejoining international competitions as a factory team in WSK and CIK FIA races, with the aim of enhancing the research and development process, immediately achieving notable results around Europe, North America, and Asia, becoming the CIK FIA Asia Pacific KZ champion in the same year. Perlin USA is North America's source for Perlin products, and we run a factory team at all of the major Supercarts USA and Rock Cup USA events. The Perlin chassis lineup for 2021 includes the Invader Shifter, the Le Mans Tag single-speed chassis for junior and senior classes, and the 28mm mini kart for the cadet classes. Perlin has been winning races all over the world, and it's on top of the podium in the USA as well, with drivers like Kai Sorensen, Mateus Orjuela, and Alessandro De Tullio. Get on the chassis that's winning. Drive a Perlin. For more information, head to PerlinUSA.com.
Welcome back to This Week in Karting, episode 76. It is March 20th, 2024. I'm David Cole, joined by Nate Dean, as we're bringing you this episode presented by Margay Racing. And we're now into our second segment as we are getting into some breaking news as Cup Karts North America South Program has moved their series finale to the Daytona International Speedway. So just talking about Daytona 24, karting is going to be there in the month of May, ironically, on Labor Day or Memorial Day weekend, 24th through the 26th, as the divisional program moves their finale from Bushnell Motorsports Park to the Daytona Motor or Daytona International Speedway. This will be the first karting event outside the WK Kart Week event or the endurance karting program that has been at Daytona. So aside from those two programs, no other karting event has been held there. So this is a pretty monumental event coming up, Nate, for the Cup Karts North America South Division over Memorial Weekend.
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, no other series outside of WKA and endurance karting have raced here. So cool to see another series hitting the track there in Turn 3 at Daytona. Like you said, on Memorial Day weekend will just add to that weekend as it is as a gearhead for motorsports. For anyone who follows karting and NASCAR, IndyCar, and Formula One, should be interesting to see what kind of numbers they pull for this. Of course, with it being on that Memorial Day weekend, I think they had some pretty, looking back at it, they did have some pretty good turnouts for the South program and its opening couple of years for that, the South program. But yeah, the big question mark for me is what the attendance is going to be like. Because, I mean, obviously, like we said, CKNA does a great job with their program. There's a lot of demand for the 206 and for what they do on track. The other side of it is, are a lot of people going to be doing stuff for Memorial Day? Will they want to be spending that at the track? But no matter really which side it goes, I'm sure Cup Karts will still make it a fun event on and off track for those families deciding to go to Daytona. And yeah, that'll be one that I'll be really looking forward to watching.
Well, again, the date hasn't changed. So this was the date that they originally had for their finale weekend. And again, with Cup Karts having all the different divisional programs going on, they can't move any dates anywhere or any races anywhere, because you have the North program, you have the Northeast program, you have the Canada program, and of course the South program. And they got probably what, 22 events, if not more, between all of those. So this was the date they had originally scheduled for their finale. It's something that when talking to Brett Spotty, with who promotes the South division, this is something they've been working on for a couple of years. And finally, the opportunity arose for it to happen this year. And so this is the opportunity. You know, he said he doesn't like moving the races around, but this opportunity came up, and so he took it. If you look, they just moved their upcoming third stop of the 2024 season to the new, well, not new anymore, but it seems new to me, the Atlanta Motorsports Park. That's going to be happening on April 12th through the 14th. They already have 127 entries for that event. So they've been getting triple digits all season long, including the Winter Nationals at NOLA Motorsports Park, and then their Jacksonville event that was run in February. So the numbers are there. So, this might not be the major, like what we saw with the Spring Nationals happening in Charlotte just a few weeks ago, where they had nearly 500 entries there, or the Grand Nationals, or the upcoming Summer Nationals that they'll be having in June, if I recall correctly. I think it's June at Pittsburgh. So again, this is going to be, you know, if they get 150 to 200 entries, it's going to be a solid event. And again, the opportunity for Cup carts to get into the Daytona International Speedway, I think, is huge. It opens up the opportunity for probably them to get there again, and maybe they'll have a major event there in 2025. We'll just kind of have to wait and see on that. You got a couple laps there, Nate. Has it been all in two cycle race or categories, correct?
First year I did 206 okay. racing in my one and only junior campaign. So we went to the WK Nationals there at the end of last year, and a lot of good things to be said about the 206 racing for what that track produces. I can back that up. It's a really, really fun track for driving a 206 and racing it. I think it gets a little difficult on the two cycle side of things just because with how narrow it is, but it's a really, really good track for four cycle racing, so it definitely should put on a good on track product.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that go down, and we'll of course have more updates. And pops, we're still working on an interview with actually Brett Spotty regarding the Cup Cards North America South program. So we hope to have that here finished prior to their upcoming event at Atlanta. Getting back into street racing, the Quincy Grand Prix is set for a return in 2024. It is the weekend of June 8th through the 9th, 2024, within Quincy, Illinois, that everybody will return to the South Park and be able to navigate what is probably the Isle of Man course in terms of karting when it comes to street racing and craziness that is the Quincy Grand Prix. Former winner and racer Jeff Scott, along with his LLC of Win One, received a $30,000 grant from the Bring Entertainment to Quincy committee to help rekindle this event. It was dropped last year by former promoter Terry Trader, who is one of the all-time winners at the Quincy Grand Prix, and his father, Gus Trader, actually launched the event back in 1970. So that's how long this event has been going on. Obviously had a hiatus for a while there, roughly about 18 years before it returned, and I believe it was 2018. So Nate, Quincy Grand Prix returning, it is probably, like I said, probably one of the wildest street courses you will ever compete on.
Yeah, and I think you comparing it to Guardians of version the Isle of Man is pretty close and really describes that fairly well. It's a crazy track. I had a couple of friends that ran Yamaha, I think, in 2018 when it came back, and seen pictures from there from them and some onboards, and like, this is crazy. And like, it's something you, if you haven't driven it before, even if you think you kind of understand what it's like, you just do not understand the level of high speed and commitment you have to get around there. So it's cool for it to be back for 2024, obviously with a bit of a hiatus in 2023 not being able to have that event. Really cool to have that back. It's a staple of the, you can, I almost call it grassroots karting at this point, but it's cool to see another street race like Rock Island coming back to the calendar and other street races that we've seen come and go throughout the years. And especially for this one, that the town of Quincy really rallies behind and comes out year after year, that the event is put on to watch the races. They really make it a family event, and it's really cool to see it back for the 2024 calendar later this summer.
Yes, they will have very similar classes to what they had previously with Briggs categories. Margay Racing bringing their Ignite major event there, obviously, as we've talked about before. 100cc divisions. They'll also be doing shifter carts. That's one of the kind of the major points about the event, and street racing in general, is insurance and kind of cracking down on street racing and the I guess you would say safety aspects of it. You know, of course, you know, like we said, it's a little bit crazy in the shifter carts. I know one of the most watched videos is like the Joe Ruck video or Devin Smith Harden at Quincy Grand Prix in KZ's shifter carts, going around that place and reaching very high speeds. But, you know, insurance is kind of a major focal point regarding street racing. And so they're still working out the kinks to bring back the shifter categories. I know a number of people are wanting to go back there with shifter carts. So we'll be keeping an eye on the news and notes from that event as we get closer to the month of June. With that, we will head into our next commercial break. And when we return, we will be talking factory carts' new engine platform and the 20th season for the California Pro Kart Challenge.
Are you ready to go from carts to cars? Since 1975, the Skip Barber Racing School has taken great drivers and made them champions. Today, we're proud to welcome the next generation of winners. Make the transition from carts to cars with the Skip Barber Formula Race Series. You'll compete at the most iconic tracks in America. Race weekends include your very own equalized Formula 4 race car, a professional crew, expert instruction, video and data analysis, hospitality, and more. This is the place to fulfill your dream of becoming a champion. Sign up today by calling 866-932-1949 or visit us at skipbarber.com.
History, success, family. Those are the three words that can describe Comet Kart Sales, one of the longest tenured karting businesses in the United States. The family-owned operation located just outside of Indianapolis has provided carts, parts, and services for thousands of racers in the near six decades of business. Their online store features everything you need, continually adding new parts to their product line. From full karting packages, new engines, spare or replacement parts, and safety gear, find it all at CometKartSales.com. Their Comet Racing Engine service has won multiple major events and championships over decades of karting and continues to offer the best trackside service in the industry, specializing in IAMI X30, IAMI Swift, and other two-cycle power plants. Make sure to head to CometKartSales.com or call them at 317-462-3413 to be part of the Comet Kart Sales family today.
Welcome back to This Week in Karting. It is episode 76, March 20th, 2024, as we are into our third segment of the show presented by Margay Racing. And we are now talking about factory carts, introducing the new FZ shifter cart engine platform. Factory carts based in California with Billy Musgrave and his factory carts and Musgrave Racing Company program. They've been really working hard over the last essentially 3 years to develop a new, essentially a stock moto platform that we are accustomed to here in the USA for shifter kart racing. But this platform goes from cadet to junior to senior to even the 250cc engine platform. So Nate, they're going to have a FZ65 for cadet, FZ85 for junior, and FZ125 along with an FZ250. All of these based around the Yamaha engine platform that they utilize for motocross. Because again, Yamaha's still going and running two cycle engines on that side.
Yeah. A cool thing for them to come out and say that they're doing, especially with the options for cadet and junior motors for shifter carts, which should be fun to watch. Jackson Porter. That's the one who I was trying to think of. Mm-hmm. Has worked with factory carts, and we've seen some videos of him testing out the cadet shifter cart engine for, I think, the past year and a half or so. So I think from those of us who weren't in the in with factory carts were probably thinking like, okay, this is a cool one-off thing that they're doing, but for them to turn this into an entire program for the engine that he was testing, like that cadet engine, and then have the junior and then two other platform options for drivers across the country to run is really cool. And for factory carts who have done so much for the manufacturing of carts in America, with them that being their whole thing and being proud of that, to now get into the engine side of things is really cool for American karting.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting because right now there's not any chassis developed for shifter cart engines, including front brakes. That's one thing, and we talked about in the article when speaking with Billy Musgrave, is they're requiring front brakes for cadet, junior, and of course for the senior categories, but there's no chassis manufacturers that have front brakes for cadet chassis. So what they're working on doing is kind of doing almost an IROC or SRX style program with the cadet division. Like, hey, if you want to run this at your club as a class, you can all have the factory cart cadet chassis with the FZ65 engine, everything all spec. And then that way everybody's on the same page and you develop from there. But even with the junior side of things, you can get in the full size chassis. So that, I guess that, you know, it'll work. I know like they had back in the day when they used to have the 80cc shifters, you know, that Connor De Felipe and Joel Miller and, or not Joel Miller, Alan Shudo, AJ Allmendinger, Matt Jaskel, some of these guys from the early 2000s, the frames were obviously not the beefier shifter cart frames that we do have now. So that will be the only difference, I think. So if they do run full size for juniors, it'll probably be on like the 30, 32 mil chassis instead of 28 or 29 or 30. But that, you know, the one thing I think that that Musgrave is focused on, and something we talked about in the article, is this is affordable shifter cart racing for club and regional racers. This isn't for SCUSA Pro Tour. This isn't for USPKS. This isn't for, you know, the elite programs. This isn't for racing in Europe. This is for drivers who want to drive a shifter cart, but do it at their club level without having to spend, you know, the $10,000 to have a shifter cart, chassis, engine, all the other parts that you need to do club racing. And really, Nate, what we kind of compare it to is either Briggs 206 or the KA100 for two cycle racing. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. And I mean, it's no secret that out of all of the different ways you can go karting, shifter kart racing is not the cheapest by any stretch of the imagination. So for them to not only make the chassis to run those shifter carts on, they're now making the shifter engines, and especially to do it in the States too. So that should help maybe a little bit with shipping or distributing to get costs down for the person who's going to be driving that cart at the end of the day. Again, it's just a super cool program for factory carts and what they're doing for all aspects, from, like I said, the engine to the chassis. So hope this works out for them. Hope that they have a lot of success with this going forward this year and however long they decide to run it.
Yeah, make sure you check out Factory Carts as they will be having the engine platforms available through them. And I talked to Billy Musgrave at the Pro Tour Winter Nationals, and he talked about having a summer tour where he's going to go to different racetracks and provide rides for people to jump in and test it out and see, you know, if they like it or not. And so I'm interested in that. I'm more interested in road racing it, because I think shifter cart racing and road racing is just phenomenal. And if we can get back to that stock moto platform, that we used to have, it was just amazing to watch. Now, don't get me wrong, I love watching KZs and road racing, but as we said, it's getting more and more expensive, and you're going to start losing more and more people from the sport because of the expense that it costs to essentially drive an F1 kart on the big tracks. So more information on that as we get that from factory karts. Staying out there in California, the California Pro Kart Challenge is about to begin its 20th season this weekend. They will head to the Buttwillow Raceway Park in California, Southern California, on March 23rd to 24th. Nate, the California Pro Kart Challenge began in 2005. It is ironically my first season, first full year with ekartingnews.com. So I remember this very well, talking about this, what was called then just the Pro Kart Challenge. This unique opportunity of just a bunch of racers getting together and starting their own series, essentially led by the Tom Kutcher and his family, prior to them owning Supercarts USA. So it's kind of similar to what we saw, you know, with the, you know, Cup Carts, how they started with Jasperson getting together with Steven Vermeer and kind of putting together a program, and now watching to where it's been. And that's essentially what happened with the California Pro Kart Challenge.
Yeah. Especially in the past few years, they've been doing, well, since 2005, but especially in the past few years, what they've been able to do for karting in California, which we know is, compared to the rest of the U.S., a bit of a different market and a bit of a different way of going about things than really the rest of the U.S. A huge, huge focus on club racing and not a lot of national racing options that go to the West Coast. So relying on California Pro Kart Challenge to give them that taste of what national racing would be like is huge for them, and Scusa and their entire team have done an incredible job with the series in that time. And a little bit more insight onto this season: $84,000 worth of prize packages for this season. So like we saw with the Pro Tour this season, Scusa is no stranger to big cash payouts for a season package. So really cool to see that. A lot of excitement, I'm sure, for all the California and West Coast carters going into, like you said, the 20th season of the Pro Kart Challenge.
Yeah, a lot of free stuff getting handed out each weekend, and of course in the championship program. And it's crazy because I talked about it in the Paddock Insider for starting the 15th season of the Scusa Pro Tour. It's very similar to the California Pro Kart Challenge. It began focused around senior masters drivers. They actually didn't have any cadet or junior categories when it first started. It was a very unique, again, different program, a different time, again, in 2005 when it did start. And that's essentially how the Pro Tour began, was the build up off of the Pro Kart Challenge. The Kutcher family purchasing Supercarts USA and then building on from there. Because if the first few Super Nationals under the Kutcher family wasn't very junior or cadet focused, or didn't even have them at all, I believe in 1 year, we didn't even have a junior category or cadet category. So interesting how times have changed, because all the numbers have flipped, where everything's now focused solely, not solely, but more majority of the time focused on with the numbers in the cadet and junior categories as compared to senior and master. So unique aspect in that, and it'll be an exciting season, the 20th for the California Pro Kart Challenge in 2024. With that, we'll head into our final commercial break. And when we return, we'll get into EKN stuff, the editorial podcasts and radio network, along with what's coming up on EKN.
What brand is known around the world for its innovation and success? It is Soti Kart. The Soti brand returned in full force during the 2023 season thanks to the new exclusive importer, the Karting Distribution, led by industry veteran Terry Germanovich. The French manufacturer Soti Kart is a leader within the karting industry, offering a wide range of products and services. The Soti Racing chassis line offers product in classes from mini karts to KZ, all based on years of development and championship seasons around the world. Soty Racing USA has expanded its dealer network over the last year, bringing the Soty brand to several local clubs and regional programs. The Soty Racing USA by PK Sports is the official race team, producing many victories in different levels across the board. And the new Pro Race Academy is designed to cater to the next generation of motor racing, helping boys and girls aiming to make their mark. Visit Soty-Racing-USA.com to learn more about Soty Kart chassis or call 954-634-5111 to become part of the Soty Racing USA network today. Soty Kart, the world leader in the karting industry. Made in the USA. It's not just a statement, it's the mission at Factory Karts of America. Led by four-time Supernats champion Billy Musgrave, Factory Karts manufactures their frames completely in-house at the Riverside, California facility. Built and designed from the ground up specifically for the American karting market, Factory Karts brings new innovations and solutions that are long overdue. Factory Karts bring together the highest quality materials to produce a high-performance, long-lasting kart that has been designed and perfected from 3 years of development, with a focus for a big push across North America in 2023. No other karting manufacturer stands behind its product like Factory Karts does, providing a 2-year warranty on all their frames. Do you remember when American made meant innovative, original, stronger, faster, and just plain better? Well, American made is back. Contact Factory Karts today to join the American made movement. Learn more by visiting factorykarts.com or email Billy anytime at info@factorykarts.com.
And welcome back to our final segment of episode 76 of This Week in Karting. It is March 20th, 2024. David Cole here, joined by Nate Dean. We're into our final segment now, talking about Ekan editorial. Nate, as I said at the beginning of the show, we were trackside for a lot of stuff, but we also did a lot of reporting. We have race reports from the Texas Sprint Racing Series at NOLA Motorsports Park, the Race Road Tax U.S. Trophy West Series from Phoenix Kart Racing Association, and of course, the Cup Karts North America Spring Nationals that was held at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. So a lot of different races in a lot of different parts of countries in those three race reports available on our homepage. Texas Sprint Race Series going to get underway this weekend, returning back for their second event of 2024.
Yeah, headed to Speed Sports Racing Park. As I'm sure there's going to be some a little bit more entries this time around with USPKS.
Yeah, I think they have over 220 entries, which I think is going to be a new record for that program from early reports. So again, nothing official on that, but early reports saying well over 200 entries.
Yeah, I mean, that just shows the growth and the strength that TSRS has, and a little bit too of USPKS as well, with a lot of drivers wanting to get a weekend of racing done before USPKS, and a lot of the TSRS regulars will be enjoying those high kart counts as well. But the NOLA event was a really, really fun one to watch. Some really high kart counts in some classes, like 206 Senior, I think had 35 or 36 around their drivers racing that. So that's pretty incredible for what is technically speaking a regional series to pull those numbers. And kudos to everyone at TSRS for pulling that. You mentioned the Race Rotax US Trophy West Series over in Phoenix. That was a fun one to watch and to listen into, some, at least for someone who doesn't go to the Challenge of the America events like you guys do, or has been around the West Coast scene for as long. Seeing some new names up there fighting for wins was fun, and some familiar ones like Christian Miles. And then, like you said, and like we've been talking about earlier on in the episode, CKNA and their Spring Nationals at Charlotte, which I believe got over 500 entries, if I'm not mistaken.
480 something officially by our numbers. Okay. Yeah, they tend to count entries that aren't making qualifying laps, so that's against my standards, at least. So
that's fair, but still, for, I mean, we say, well, only 480 Sign up, but still that's 480 carts that signed up. So that's incredible for their program, and especially for the Spring Nationals that has been gaining traction every year and is starting to become as big of an event as their finale at Newcastle Motorsports Park, the Grand Nationals, that happens in October. That's crazy to think about for that Spring Nationals event. But three really, really big series running in the early parts of 2024. Some great racing happening throughout them, and it was really fun to watch all the coverage and read all the reports that we had.
Yeah, it's the U.S. Trophy West Series is getting back underway this weekend too. They will be in Tucson at the Musselman Honda Circuit in Tucson, Arizona. So that, you got TSRS and Trophy West Series both racing on the same weekend again. And again, like we said, Cup Karts North America with their Spring Nationals. We were trackside in Tucson for the T2 event, which was the second stop of the Challenge of the Americas. Rounds 3 and 4 at the very challenging and fun to watch racetrack in Tucson, Arizona. So again, full coverage of that event online, along with full coverage from the Supercars USA Pro Tour Winter Nationals, which was our last event on February or March 8th through the 10th down at the Orlando Kart Center in Florida. And then Nate, we're announcing today, posting it on the website and social media, driver of the month for the month of February 2024, Mateus Morgado, the 2022 FIA Karting World Champion, finally getting a driver of the month honor.
Yeah, he's been impressive in the time that he's been working with Barellart here stateside. But throughout last year, he had his successes, especially in the rock side of things, but when it came to USPKS and SCUSA, didn't quite have the luck or the really pace underneath him on the long runs that to convert on those. But now in 2024, he's just really been unstoppable when you move him from the X30 and tag platforms over to the shifter kart racing that he's now doing for Barellart and PSL racing. He's been very, very quick from the word go in 24 from the SCUSA Winter Series that he's been running along with the rock programs that he is so, so quick in. And of course, the Winter Nationals being this month in March, but him having a very impressive run there as well. So a really, really strong early start of the season for Mateus Morgado. So looking at the tail end of the season when it comes to crunch time and championship time, you know that the Barellart driver will definitely be in the mix and in the chat for who could potentially be a champion.
Yes, actually 6 straight wins going from the Rock Cup USA Florida Winter Tour in January through the SCUSA Winter Series, through the second stop of the Winter Tour, through the SCUSA Pro Tour Pro Show event we just had, and then the finale that was this past weekend in Orlando. So 6 straight wins here in the USA. Watch for the upcoming driver rankings. Don't be surprised if you don't see Mateus Morgado up and inside the top 10 to begin the 2024 season. So a great start to the former world champion. Again, he'll be racing this weekend at the European Championships with the CL racing team. So the Charles Leclerc chassis, he'll be racing there in the OK division with, I believe they have 91 entries in the OK category. So that'll be interesting to see. Yeah, we'll see. Maybe the shifter cart stuff will help him on the single speed. You know, that helps you go a little bit deeper when you don't have as much brakes.
Yeah, maybe.
So, yeah, we'll see. Ecan podcast review. Again, you can download this show and any podcast that we've done over the last essentially 7 years that we've been doing podcasts, all available through iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Podbean, and any other outlets you may download podcasts from. Make sure you subscribe and give us a review wherever you download. You can get the last episode 75 from February 20th, download that, along with our Outlap and Debrief podcasts from the Challenge of the Americas T2 event and from the 2024 Supercars USA Pro Tour Winter Nationals. So make sure you get on there and download. Again, Ecan Radio Network, the only 24-hour, 7 days a week channel dedicated to the sport of karting. You'll be hearing this episode of This Week in Karting on the Ecan Radio Network before it becomes a podcast. and we'll continue to do our rewinds of former races and past races. And again, we're going to have some face-to-face and roundtables coming up. It's just been a very hectic schedule to begin the opening 3 months of the season. So as we get into April, hopefully we'll get some more time. And of course, in May as well, to do more face-to-face and roundtables to provide you those on not only EKN Radio Network and in podcast form, but on our YouTube channel as well. So again, make sure you check out our YouTube channel for shorts, videos, onboards, and all the past face-to-face and roundtables that we have done. What's coming up on EKN is Trackside, April 5th through the 7th, as we will have the United States Pro Kart Series Texas Grand Prix from the Speed Sports Racing Park in New Caney, Texas. So the USPKS program kicking off its 2024 season in the Big Lone Star State, Nate. Both of us will be there. You'll be doing some social media stuff. I'll be focused on our normal Trackside coverage, but we'll be kind of be working together here and there. What are you looking forward to about heading down to Speed Sports?
I mean, just that. I've never been to Speed Sports before, and it's been a while since I've been to USPKS events. So it'll be fun to be down to the new track for me, and heard a lot of great things about it from racing last year. Saw a lot of fun racing there as well. So just looking forward to ticking another track off the list.
Maybe we'll have to do some rental cart stuff.
Oh, maybe.
I know you got me by weight, but I think I have you by old experience, so maybe I'll be able to keep up. But I went last year, I didn't get a single lap in, so maybe we'll try and convince Alan Rudolph down there to give us just a few laps, just so we can maybe we'll put some GoPros on. So bring your GoPro, I'll bring mine. We'll slap them on some rental helmets and go have some fun.
Yeah.
And then the following weekend will be Trackside Live for what will be the Challenge of the Americas 2024 finale, April 12th through the 14th, Sonoma Raceway in Sonoma, California. Again, wine country, beautiful scenery. There's, again, if this racetrack had a better paddock, it does have a good paddock now that it's all paved. That's one thing they've done some upgrades to it, so that's nice. I know they've done some other upgrades, but it doesn't have the size to have any of the major events that we do have. But this is one of the racetracks, this is one of the events you want to go to. This will probably be the Challenge's biggest race of the year. You got all the Northern California drivers. You got drivers coming down from the Pacific Northwest. Of course, your SoCal racers, and of course, your Challenge regulars that come from all over the western half of the country to compete. So it's going to be a fun one. It'll be me and Rob Howden there, Trackside, providing you coverage all weekend long. He'll be on the mic. I'll be doing all the legwork behind the scenes and helping with the production of the live show and of course daily reports as well. So make sure you follow us again on social media, the Facebook page, Twitter page, Instagram, YouTube, all four of the major outlets. Make sure you like and subscribe and check us out. Nate, any other final words as we wrap up this show?
No, not really. Just another busy schedule of karting ahead and looking forward to that.
Yeah, I got to get caught up on the all our work, getting moving forward and getting ready to head to Speed Sports here in a couple days or a couple weeks or what's today? The 20th. Yeah. So we got about 14 days, 15 days. All right. So with that, we will wrap up our show. For Nate Dean, I'm David Cole. Again, thank you for tuning in to this weekend party.